Lead yourself. Lead SA.
A double header today, both loosely themed around education. First up, we're going to hear about a national non-profit initiative working in this sector and a quite extraordinary feat that they are undertaking to raise awareness and funding for the organization. And then a little bit later, we'll talk to you about a clever tutoring program for young people who might be taking a gap year this year. Remember, just before I start on today's stories, that if you know of someone who is really the definition of a good Samaritan, or who is that neighbor who is always concerned about what's happening in your neighborhood and always making an effort to help, maybe it's an NPO that you see doing extraordinary work in your community and think deserves some recognition. If it is a Lead SA scenario, please tell us about it. Send me an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za with more information. Now, first up today, I'd like to introduce you to an NPO called The Unlimited Child, and not just tell you about their work, but also tell you about a very exciting project that's now just days away that is literally going to take their message to new heights. It's an organization focused on improving access to early childhood development services, something we know can make an absolutely crucial difference in a child's life. And it's our absolute pleasure to welcome on the line the chairperson of The Unlimited Child, Wallace Watt, who is about to set off to climb the world's highest active volcano on their behalf. Wallace, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Pippa. Great to be here.
Won't you start by telling us a little bit about The Unlimited Child? Who are you, where and when were you established, and what's it all about?
Okay, so The Unlimited Child was actually established by my father in 2008, and it comes from quite a personal story. We had a domestic worker who my parents had promised they would help educate her grandchildren. And when her grandchild failed grade one, my father was shocked. How can a child fail grade one? So after a little bit of research, he started to uncover this critical piece around if children do not receive the necessary stimulation they need before the age of six, their potential in life is capped at 2 or 3 out of 10 forever. So this was obviously, you know, it incensed him. And that's what got him to start The Unlimited Child in 2008. And they, you know, they're doing amazing work. We've reached over 1,200 preschools in 7 provinces across South Africa, and already over 200,000 children since the start of the program. What The Unlimited Child does is they provide caregivers, training for caregivers. They provide toys and facilities and a huge amount of monitoring and support for children and preschools in underprivileged communities throughout South Africa.
Important to emphasize that you are active across the country, including here in the Western Cape, Wallace?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Now, that's a big scale that you've just described, being active in over 1,000 ECD centres across the entire country. That means it must be an ongoing challenge to keep funding an organisation like this. How do you manage to keep going?
So funding is a massive issue, of course, and because the more we want to scale, the more funding we need. So at the moment, we have various fundraising initiatives, including what I believe I'm here to talk about as well, is our expedition at the highest volcano
yes.
in the world. So we can I unpack that a little bit further?
Sure. But before we get to, I'm just trying to get a sort of an overall sense of the organization before we talk about the specific expedition you're about to tackle. Just to go back a step or two, it's talking about engaging at the level of the educators and caregivers, engaging at the level of the toys and the learning materials, etc., that they're working with. My question was going to be, one way to help is to support an initiative like the one we're going to tell you about in just a moment. But on an ongoing basis, are corporates helping you? Or do you get funding from anything like the lottery, or is it reliant on your own individual fundraising campaigns?
Okay, so that's a great question. So the Unlimited, which is a financial services group, they are, I would say, the main corporate sponsor of The Unlimited Child, and they cover all of the operational needs that The Unlimited Child needs to run. Then there are various other corporates and other NPOs that get involved and do help with funding. And that's what's great about all of the operational needs being taken care of, is that all of that extra funding then can go straight into the program and the caregivers, etc. And then there's also reliance on personal and individual donors who, you know, we have some monthly, we have some once off, but it's always an issue to get more, because the more funding we have, obviously the more we can spread throughout the country.
Okay. Now, Wallace, let's talk about what must be pressing on your mind right now, and that's the fact that you're setting off in just a couple of days' time as a party of six climbers to tackle the Hoyos del Salado volcano in South America, which is the highest active volcano in the world. Why choose that particular challenge? What's the symbolism to you all?
So I think it's... Because it is the highest in the world, there are many challenges. So I think the biggest one for us, outside of being fit and that kind of thing, is altitude. So and there's really nice parallels between the challenges that we're going to be facing and the challenges that children in South Africa face. We're going to be attempting the summit over about 2 weeks. There's a group of six of us. I'm lucky enough to be going with my father, Ian Buchan, who founded the Unlimited Child, and he's done a couple of these expeditions before, as well as my husband. We've got our family, a very close family friend, Dr. Peter Burning. He's also the expedition doctor, and his son are joining us as well. And we're going to be challenged on many levels. It's a massive physical and mental challenge, and I think it requires a huge amount of emotional resilience. And we can very easily see the parallels between that and what children in South Africa face on a daily basis. And really, that's what we're wanting to bring the awareness to, is this is a big challenge for us, sure, but it's nothing to compared to what someone might go through when they haven't met their potential, haven't had the necessary stimulation to reach their potential. The rest of their life will be a challenge. And that's really the main goal behind what we're doing, and everyone on the team is passionate about is bringing awareness to that cause.
Okay. As you said, it's a huge physical undertaking, Wallace. I mean, how have you been preparing? What sort of training have you all done?
Wow, so I've been in training for a year when we started talking about this climb, and it's pretty much about getting as much exercise as much as possible. I do a huge variety of training, hiking, climbing on the weekends, running. I go to gym sessions, I do yoga, I do early morning box step-ups, I ride, I horse ride. It's varied. I think fitness is, and general strength and fitness is a big issue. But because it's so high, the altitude is going to be the biggest challenge once we start approaching the summit.
Okay. I mean, I know from friends you've tackled big mountains before. Altitude sickness is a very real thing. I'm glad to hear you've got an expedition doctor going along in case anybody really comes up against that, because, of course, we know, sadly, it can even be life-threatening. In terms of the actual sort of route ahead, I know you guys are leaving the 12th of February is when your window opens. At what point do you actually hope or expect to reach the summit?
So that's right. We leave on the 12th, and for the days leading up to the summit, it's a lot of acclimatizing. So we do shorter hikes and smaller summits, and then I think we're going to our first summit attempt is on the 23rd of February. We have got some contingency days before and after because of things like weather and all of those kinds of things, but we're hoping to be there sometime around midday on the 23rd of February.
Okay, well, we'll be keeping fingers and toes crossed for you, Wallace. It's obviously symbolic what you're doing, but it's also about helping to raise funds and awareness for your activity. So I'd like to, in closing, direct our listeners to a website where they can find out more about the Unlimited Child and find out how they can support what you're doing. What is that website, please?
Super. It's theunlimitedchild.org. If you just Google search The Unlimited Child, it's the first one that will pop up. You can't miss it.
Wallace Watt, our best wishes go with you to South America. For those who are wondering, the volcano we're talking about, Hoyos del Salado, is on the border between Argentina and Chile. It's right up there in the Andes. The peak is 6,893 metres in very, very tough conditions. Our friend Angelo, who was with us earlier, took on a peak in the Andes not too long ago and said it was beyond imagining the conditions that are in store for you. But Wallace, our best wishes go with you and the team, and we hope it is a huge success. You'll be very much in our thoughts in the latter part of February as you make that summit attempt. Please do visit theunlimitedchild.org to read up more about the organization, to find out how you can support their work, and to make contact with them if you feel that there are synergies to be explored.
Lead yourself. Lead SA.
Right, the second part of Lead Essay is also in the education space, although we're talking about the other end of the education space. In this case, how to become involved as a community tutor. I want to tell you about a program called Action Volunteers Africa, a really inspiring initiative and an opportunity for the youth of Cape Town to get involved in community development through tutoring during a gap year. We all know that for many young people, as they finish their matric, and it's a tough time of life. Not everybody has a clear sense at age 16, 17, 18 of what they want to do and where they want to go next. And some do benefit from taking a year out of the education cycle to think about what they want to do, to focus, to maybe do some practical skills training and sort of whittle down into what direction they want their life to go in. Some just want a break from the system and a chance to travel and explore a bit. But the main thing, I think, is if you're going to allow your child to take a gap year, is to make sure that they're doing something productive during that time and not sitting at home binge viewing TV series and playing endless rounds of computer games. So here's an idea. If you have a youngster considering a gap year, why not get them signed up with Action Volunteers Africa? It's a non-governmental organization set up in 2012 to try and harness this concept of volunteering as a tool for youth development and to bridge the gap between school and the tertiary studies or the working world, as it were. So for those of you considering taking a gap year next year or already planning to do so this year and still trying to figure out what you're going to do, please pay attention. On the line with me is the program coordinator for Action Volunteers Africa, Thembani Dule. Thanks so much for joining us, Thembani. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and good afternoon to the listeners as well. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
It's our great pleasure. You started this program back in 2012. Where did the original idea and the vision for the 4AVA come from?
Well, it's formed by a very active and experienced development worker by the name Lisa Garson. This is one of her dreams. To form the organization after she opened Action Appointments, and she thought that there's a need for youth development, and especially since young people are not getting employed because of they don't have experience. And she had this dream that if we give these young people this opportunity to be exposed to work, to be exposed to opportunities, then this will be a dream where we harness young people. Talents and inspire young people to be somewhere in life by getting a chance to get involved, by giving to communities while at the same time developing within the program.
Okay. Carry on.
Yes. Well, this was a dream, but the dream has actually opened up a couple of pillars. One of the pillars is Year Beyond Program, and one is called Work for Progress. And another one is called Kanisa, and it's got a sister program, which is called Life Matters. And all these projects are for young people under the age. I mean, these programs, we invite young people under the age of 25 to be volunteers, and they're working in different environments in all these different four programs.
Okay, now I see on the list of volunteer skills requirements that you're actually currently looking for actively, you've got a strong focus on volunteers who can help tutor in languages and in maths. What are you looking for there specifically, Thembani?
English is very important as international language for communication. But we also think if young people could get involved in mathematics, that gives them more opportunities in terms of the fields that require mathematics as maybe an entry to, a higher grade entry for you to be able to be part of that institution. So that's why we're mainly focusing on these two subjects. But in schools, our volunteers also assist in other subjects where learners need assistance, but the main tutored subjects are maths and English in the Year Beyond program.
Okay. Before we run out of time, I know there are lots of other opportunities within the program for volunteering, but essentially you're looking for those who have finished their schooling, are under the age of 25 and have time at their disposal to work as a volunteer in your program. Where specifically would they be working, Thembani? Is this an organization that's only active in Cape Town?
At the moment, yes, we're active in Cape Town, in different communities in Cape Town. Yes, our main focus for now is still Cape Town, but we're hoping, you know, one dreams, and we're actually getting more since we've been talking to radio station, talking to different forms of media. We have a lot of applicants coming from the Eastern Cape and even the Northern Cape being interested in the program. I think for me personally, that's an indication of the interest of this program in other provinces. And people were like, where are you only based in Cape Town? I mean, Popo, then they say, yes, we're based in Cape Town. So they're asking, why can't you bring it here? Because we think it would be worth for our community. So there is a call from young people saying there is a need. They saw a need. They see a need of this kind of program in their schools and in different provinces.
Thembani Dule, we have to leave it there, but thank you for chatting to us. Not the clearest of lines, so if there was anything you missed there, please do visit their website, www.avafrica.org.za. It's Action Volunteers Africa if you want to simply Google them.